Seated. Good morning. I want to thank Nancy for inviting us to come before you today to share with you our story, our journey, which has led us to be here today at Old South Church. Let me give you a little bit of a background on who we are, the backstory. Both Bob and I were raised as Catholic, and our spiritual and our religious journeys and backgrounds were very much influenced by our grandmothers. I come from an Italian Catholic family in central Connecticut. My link to the Catholic Church was with and through my beloved grandmother, Santina. She was fairly devout. She went to church regularly, lived across the street from the church. She was always in confession. She had her rosary. She had statues of the Virgin Mary all throughout her apartment. She was an active leader in the Guardian Angels Society of Sacred Heart and St. Anne's Church in her later years as well. Bob comes from a German Catholic family in the Midwest, from Missouri, and the Catholic Church was an important part of his life as well. He was very close with his grandmother, Ida. She too was a practicing Catholic who took Bob to church every Sunday. And he was led down the path of Catholic youth organization. He was an altar boy for many years. And he went to Catholic schools for most of his elementary and junior high school years. So for both of us, being Catholic was very much a part of who we are. So we met in New York City in April of 1987. And in June of that year, we moved in together and we got an apartment in the Carroll Gardens section of Brooklyn. If you know anything about Brooklyn, Carroll Gardens is Italian, and it's really, really Italian. So if you could visualize the Sopranos for a minute, and with, you know, people hanging out at the butcher shop, the card shops, the social clubs on the street corners, that's kind of what it was like in our neighborhood. On Christmas Eve in 1987, that was our first Christmas together, we decided to stay and celebrate in Brooklyn at our new apartment in New York City. And it was a really cold Christmas Eve. It was kind of like this year. It was snow showers, windy, really brisk. And we got bundled up at about 11:30 and left our flat to go to Christmas Eve service at Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary in St. Stephen Roman Catholic Church. Now, that was a mouthful then, and it's a mouthful today. So we walk out of our apartment. We were living on Henry Street. We walk out and we turn left and we go to Carroll Street to turn right to go to the church. And we come upon a sight that we haven't forgotten to this day. So let me tell you first that, as I said, the Italian neighborhood, these Italians know how to decorate their houses for Christmas. So you got to visualize this long city block. There's probably 30 row houses on each side of the street. And each house was decorated more elaborately with snowflakes and Santas and snowmen than the house next to it. And each one of the houses on each side of the street all had a creche in the front yard. And each one was more elaborate than the one next to it. So Bob and I are wandering to church that night, and we get about halfway down the block, and we said, "Oh my God. There's no baby Jesus is here." And we didn't realize why, but there was no baby Jesus. And we said, "Oh my God, someone or some group of people came and stole these baby Jesuses." So visualize the Sopranos again, and we're thinking Artie Bucco and Paulie Walnuts, and in their neighborhood, what would they do? And we just like said, "Let's go to church, let's pray, let's do our thing, and get out of here." So we go to church, we pray, 12:50, we get out of Mass on the dot. We turn and go back down Carroll Street, and miraculously, every creche has a baby Jesus in it. Now, we probably missed that story about when you put them in the creche in Catholic school or in catechism, but that was an important part of our life there. We lived in Brooklyn for about another year, and we were able to really witness and experience some cultural stuff going on with the church there. We would look out our flat window down onto the street, and we would see parades throughout the year, paying homages to the saints, with people walking up and down the street with big statues and stopping in front of homes and businesses, and people running out and kneeling and pinning money onto these statues. We always looked at it from our apartment down onto these celebrations. We were never a part of it, and we never felt a part of it. And part of that is because we were gay. And being gay, you weren't welcomed into the Catholic Church. And as a reason, we really felt apart from that. That hurt, and it continues to hurt to this day because not much has changed. The following year, we moved to California when we settled into the San Francisco Bay Area. And we dabbled in churches. We didn't really have one yet. And we never really connected with any one community for a little while. A few years after we arrived in San Francisco, I learned that my grandmother, Santina, was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a really traumatic thing for me. It was very difficult. I loved her very much, and it was really hard news to take. So looking for a place to go, to play, to pray, to reflect, to get some solace, I immediately thought of the church. And so the Catholic Church in our neighborhood was the Most Holy Redeemer in the Castro. And I thought about going there, but then, that same week, the Archbishop of San Francisco put out this edict that basically banned all gay groups, including Dignity, which is a gay Catholic group, from meeting in any of the properties of the San Francisco Archdiocese. And I said to myself, how could I go there? I was feeling angry. I was feeling upset. I was feeling let down. And I said, I can't hold on to that anger. So I decided to wander down the street, and there was another church, Metropolitan Community Church, where I went. And I felt solace. I felt comfort. I felt affirmed. I felt embraced. I felt that I was a loving child of God there and not a bad sinner doomed for hell. We eventually became members of MCC San Francisco for many years. During our time there, my grandmother passed away. It was really tough on me. She was a lovely lady. She epitomized love. She epitomized inclusion and compassion for everyone. She fit the stereotype of the typical Italian grandmother, again, another stereotype, but she was 4'10", a little overweight, wore an apron all the time, was a fabulous cook, and she wore Estee Lauder Youth Dew 24 hours a day. I mean, she did. But what was beautiful about her is that her table in her house was always set. There was always enough food for whomever showed up, and everyone was always welcome at her home, and in this case, even Bob. One of the things I remember most about my grandmother is how on Christmas Day, every year, she and my grandfather would always show up to our house with a big box of cookies that she made. She was a great cook. And on that box of cookies, there were envelopes for each of us as grandchildren. And in each envelope, there was a crisp $20 bill. That was their Christmas present to us. And she did that year after year after year. And when you got older and you got married, you got an envelope with a crisp $50 bill in it. So that was a sweet thing. Grandma died in 1995, and the Christmas before she died, Bob and I went back to Connecticut, and we spent Christmas with her at her nursing home. And she told me she had something for us. And what she did is she took out a box of cookies, not hers, of course, but a box of cookies, and on the top of it was an envelope addressed to me and Bob. And in that envelope was a crisp $50 bill. And it was a big recognition of her love for me and her love for us, and a recognition of our relationship. So it was quite humbling that we were both asked to be pallbearers for her funeral. Yes, it was at St. Anne's in the Sacred Heart of Jesus Church. It was a high mass, and communion was served. It was served for everybody but me and Bob. You see, printed on the back of the bulletin that day were all the conditions one must have met in order to be welcome at the table. It was pretty painful to be in a space celebrating the life of one of the most inclusive and loving people that I knew, that we knew, and not to be invited to the table to celebrate her life. It was a horrible thing. It was just awful. And it's because of these experiences we have vowed that whatever church and whatever religious and spiritual community that we become a part of has to be welcoming and has to be radically inclusive. So fast forward to today and how we came upon Old South Church and why we became members and why we continue to give of our time, our talents, and our money to this community. We moved from San Francisco Bay Area to Boston in 2008. And as we left San Francisco, we asked our pastor, UCC minister, to recommend some churches to us that she considered to be progressive, radically inclusive, welcoming, open, and affirming. And she immediately said Old South Church in Boston and also made mention of Arlington Street Church. So after we arrived and got settled into our apartment in Bay Village, we decided to venture out and begin exploring possible church homes. And both of us remember quite well the first Sunday that we came here to Old South. We came across around the corner from the Hancock Building and around the corner onto Copley Square, and we recall seeing this big church. And this was big, city church for us. And the bells were ringing, and I said to myself, and we both said to ourselves, oh my, this is big. There's going to be a lot of real formality in that church. There's going to be a lot of Boston Brahmins. There's going to be coldness. There's going to be exclusion. And these feelings came over me. And I'm like, do we really want to go there? Well, I'm really glad we did, because as we came to the church, we remember so vividly how we were greeted on the sidewalk by the greeters. As we entered the sanctuary, the ushers welcomed us. There was incredible music. There was a female senior minister, Nancy. There was a gay associate minister, Quinn. There was another female associate minister, Elizabeth. The music was amazing, and the sermon and the message of the day was so uplifting. Needless to say, we never made it to Arlington Street Church. In the first six months of coming here, we were witness to the following. A lesbian couple being married during festival worship right here. Numerous baptisms, which included children of gay and lesbians being baptized. Incredible diversity amongst the membership and the leadership. A transgender person, a woman, giving testimony at festival worship. We experienced awesome historical perspectives and witnessed Governor Patrick reading his proclamation of Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving Sunday service at our old church. And we came upon an overflowing church hosting an LGBT interfaith service in June for Pride Saturday. We've been struck by how positive, how inclusive, loving, and welcoming this community has been and continues to be. Old South also espouses other values and behaves in ways which are really very near and dear to us, such as supporting immigrants, the homeless, and the need for affordable housing through advocacy and action. And we've witnessed this recently. Old South knows its position in the city of Boston and knows how to flex its muscles for the greater good of the whole. We too have been a part of a vibrant ministry where we as a community have raised tens of thousands of dollars and sent four or five groups of people to New Orleans to help rebuild homes and lives of people affected by Hurricane Katrina. And we've helped to wrap marathon runners in scarves and with embraces of love and compassion and hope. In a troubled world, in a world where it's often hard to be ourselves these days and to feel good about our direction as a community, as a society, this is so very welcomed. We give today because it's important today. And we continue to give and will continue to give as we go into the future. Bob and I, we don't have children, but we give so that you and your children and hopefully their children will always have a place to call their spiritual home here at Old South Church, a place that truly embodies the belief that we are all made in the image of God. So as I bring this to closure, let me share a couple more things with you. As I get closer to my retirement, that's going to come in about 3.5 or 4 years, I've been quietly exploring what is it that I want to do as my next profession. So Bob and I and some of my friends know that I have this fantasy. It's a real fantasy, but if I say it in church, it might come true, of becoming the town crier in Provincetown. I want to get in that outfit, and I want to ring the bell, and I want to stand on the street corner, and I want to yell out the good news of the day, because I just think it's a fascinating and a beautiful and wonderful thing to do. So, as I leave to you this morning, I want to proclaim some really good news too. So in preparation for our storytelling today, we went back and we reviewed 12 sermons at worship services that we randomly selected from the New Spirit archives that were on the web. And we went back and we listened to them with the hopes of finding examples of validating our experiences of inclusion at Old South Church. And the good news is that I think we found the proof. So, if you will indulge me, I get to practice this now. I have my Tom Cryer thing here. Here I go. As the mayor of the Munchkin City... Oh, that's the wrong one. That was how I practiced. Let me start over. Okay. Here I go. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Welcome to the people of Old South Church. Today is indeed a good day in Boston because you are here. Listen now for the good news of the day. Old South Church, in the name of its host Jesus Christ, and in the spirit of Christ's invitation carved into the stone of this church's portico, behold, I have set before thee an open door, welcomes all who seek to know God. And this means that you are welcome here, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. And this includes you, if you are gay, straight, cis, or transgender, married or divorced, partnered or single, immigrants or born just down the street, if you are young or old, big or small, HIV positive or negative, a saint or a sinner. You're welcome here at Old South, if you're a believer or a doubter, if you're a first-time visitor or old friend, if you're showered or pressed or not. You're welcome if you walk down Boylston Street sedately or sprinted to get here. You're welcome here if you're coming for free coffee. You're welcome here if you're sober or hungover. And you're welcome here if you've always been held in the arms of the church or you've been hurt in the name. This is why we continue to give to Old South Church. Today and for the future. This is our journey, and this is our story.